I want to invite you into a journey today because this is the beginning of Holy Week. It's the beginning of what we call Passion Week. So today I want to invite you just into a conversation for a few minutes on preparing for Passion Week with Jesus. So Passion Week or Holy Week is a powerful, powerful week in the Christian calendar. It is inaugurated, or it begins with Palm Sunday. It moves through Maundy Thursday. Holy Thursday is that Thursday that we celebrate during Holy Week. Maundy actually comes from a Latin term which actually means commandment. Jesus gives us a new commandment that changes Christianity. And he does it on Thursday, and so it's called Maundy, or commandment, new commandment day. And then Good Friday, and then Holy Week climaxes on Resurrection Sunday that we celebrate. As I've prepared for today, as I have prayed and asked, what should I do with the wonderful, wonderful people that are here at Trinity? I'd like to take you in these few minutes that we have this morning on a devotional journey. I want to ask you, regardless of how long you've been a Christian, and I am so thankful for the new people that we have here in the church, that you are maybe beginning to explore Christianity. This may be the very first Easter and Holy Week that you've had as you've begun to explore the Christian faith. Wherever you're at, or you've been a Christian for 50 years, I want to invite you into a devotional journey to relive what Jesus did the last week of his earthly life before he was resurrected. I want you to relive Passion Week with me this morning. So this is the week that changed the world. There are so many different things that Jesus said. There are so many different things that Jesus did during a 5-day window. And so as a believer, or as somebody who's exploring Christianity, as you prepare your heart, as I prepare my heart, I want us to take a look at the things that Jesus did during Holy Week, 10 of them. I want to overview them, then we're going to look at them real briefly together. The first thing, as you know, Jesus enters Jerusalem, and he's proclaimed as the Messiah, and it's Sunday. Then Jesus cleanses the temple and he redefines worship. And that's on Monday. And then on Tuesday, Jesus defines in an interaction. He defines when he's asked the question, what is the greatest commandment out of all the 618 commandments that the Pharisees had raised up that people were supposed to obey? These 613 laws. Which one was the most important? Jesus does that on Tuesday. And then Jesus redefines great giving as he watches people offer their gifts on Tuesday. Jesus predicts, as he's going on Tuesday afternoon, Jesus predicts the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus predicts the wipeout of the Jewish people as we know it in 70 AD by Titus, 40 years before it happens. And then Jesus also predicts with his disciples the events that surround the end of the world on Tuesday. Wednesday, as far as we know from reading the text, Jesus does not go back into the Jerusalem. Jesus spends a day in reflection with his disciples on Wednesday. On Thursday, as you know, Jesus celebrates the Passover. He celebrates the Passover meal. And in that time, not only does Jesus celebrate the Passover meal, Jesus redefines leadership for the world. In his group of disciples, that night they were still debating about who was going to be right hand and left hand in the kingdom. And Jesus had a very different idea about leadership. He does that on Thursday night. And then also on Thursday night, Jesus gives us a new command. That's why we call it Maundy Thursday, a new commandment he gives of the way that Christians are to operate. And then he also spends three chapters in the Gospel of John talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He does all of that on Thursday. And then on Thursday night, Jesus closes by the high priestly prayer. He prays for himself. He prays for his disciples. And then that night, Jesus prays for you. He has a prayer for you. Those who will believe through the disciples who would be a follower of Jesus. So this is a week that then Jesus, he prays for himself, and then on Friday, Jesus is sacrificed for all mankind. So all of these things happen in one week. We call it Passion Week. We call it Holy Week. And so we want to reflect on these things, and I hope to take you on a journey this morning of during this Passion Week, so that as you come to Wednesday prayer time, or as you come on Friday celebrate, and or Thursday, and you, as you go through Thursday and go through Friday, as you celebrate, that you will rededicate yourself to being a follower of Jesus, that you'll follow his example, and that you'll embrace what Jesus has for your spiritual journey. So I would challenge you to do two things as you begin this spiritual journey with Jesus during Holy Week. The first thing I would encourage you to do is focus on what is the most important thing of to Jesus, and that is seek to be Christ-like. Seek to be more like Jesus. Ask Jesus to bring to your mind every sin and spiritual shortfall that you have. Now, I know that you wouldn't have this problem, but there are a few Christians that I run into with this problem, and that is they haven't discovered that this here's Jesus and there's them and there's a gap. You all realize there is a gap between you and Jesus. You know, if you don't, if you haven't discovered that, if you're married, ask your spouse. They'll be more than happy to fill it in. There's a gap between you and Jesus. Now, if you're a Pharisee, what happens is you come to church and you fold your hand. You say, well, I'm not nearly as bad as that person. That's what Pharisees do. Jesus had a lot of bad things to say about people who were always looking at other people, thinking themselves more righteous than other people, justifying themselves. And he actually pulled a tax collector out of the crowd and said, okay, you know, you see this tax collector here and you see this Pharisee. One guy says, hey, I tithe 10%. I give half of my goods to the poor. I'm really conscientious. I do da-da-da-da-da. I am so thankful that I'm not like this drug-dealing, drug-pushing person over here. And then Jesus actually picks up a despised person who has tears streaming down his face. And Jesus says, if this person is repentant, this person is a whole lot closer than this one. Y'all get this?
Yeah. Come on.
And so when we come, we're never to fold our hands and say, you know, I'm really not doing bad. We come always with a desire that we will confess to Jesus. Even when we're entirely sanctified to the will of God, there's always going to be areas of confession that we'll have to, because we, as we continue, Jesus shows us the how to close the gap. We keep closing this gap as we become more Christ-like. So in this week, I would encourage you to, first of all, focus on Christ-likeness. The second thing I would encourage you to do is to open your life to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Say, Jesus, every part of me for this Holy Week. Christians for the last 2,000 years have taken the pledge of being reflective. Some fast, some pray, some go through a variety of things. As Pastor Steve said, as we come down to the end of Lent, they set aside their own desires, their own inclinations or passions, and they are presenting themselves, culminating in Holy Week as a time of reflection. And Jesus actually tells them, he says, we want you to wait for the gift that my Father has promised. I've talked about this, and that's his major focus on Thursday night before he goes to the cross on Friday. So it is Sunday. It's a triumphal entry. This is what we celebrate today. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, in fact, on the colt, on the foal of a donkey. And in doing so, he is fulfilling a 480-year-old prophecy that Zechariah foretells. It's found in chapter 9 and verse 9, and this is what it says. In fact, I love being able to have PowerPoint. The Bible tells us in Timothy that when we come together, we should give ourselves the public reading of Scripture. You can all see this, can't you? Can we read this out loud together? Let's just start right here. Let's start with rejoice. Let's read this out loud together, okay? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the Passover festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Praise God. God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the King of Israel. Jesus found a donkey and rode on it, just as the scripture says, Do not be afraid, city of Zion. Here comes your king, riding on a young donkey. His disciples did not understand this at the time, but when Jesus had been raised to glory, they remembered that the scripture said this about him, and that they had done this for him. The people who had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from death had reported what had happened. That was why the crowd met him, because they heard he had performed this miracle. The Pharisees then said to one another,
You see, we are not succeeding at all. Look, the whole world is following him.
Yes. Amen. During Passion Week, each night, Jesus and his disciples probably go to Bethany, near to Jerusalem, and most likely they stay with a man that Jesus has recently raised from the dead. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, good friends. Sunday is over, and now it's Monday. Jesus enters the temple on Monday and he drives out all of those who are buying and selling. He overturns the money changers' tables, the benches of those that are selling doves. Jesus totally upends the temple on Monday. You have to understand the context of this because the foreigners were coming from all over the world who were God worshipers. All of the countries that were within travel distance to Jerusalem, they were coming to Passover to worship God. They had to have their money changed into temple currency. And so in this process of the money changers, they did big business. And in the process of turning their currency in, the exchange rate, they inflate. And they started charging high prices for sacrificial animals. And in the midst of this God worship, people were getting filthy rich. And they had set this up in the temple, in the court of the Gentiles. All of these non-Jews were frustrated because they came to worship God. And all of this is described in Isaiah 680 years before Jesus arrives. Isaiah chapter 56 says this. This is what the Lord says. Foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship Him, all who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Those are the words of the prophet Isaiah. And yet, in that process, Jesus is angry on Monday because God's house has become a money-making enterprise. And the religious leaders had created barriers to the Gentiles who came from all over the world who were honestly, genuinely wanting to worship God.
There in the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and pigeons, and also the money changers sitting at their tables. From cords and drove all the animals out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He overturned the tables of the money changers, scattered their coins.
As we prepare for Holy Week, John chapter 2 says, "Zeal for your house has consumed me." Jesus was consumed with zeal for the purity of the house of God. So I would ask that as you prepare for this Holy Week, that you would pray that the heart of Jesus would be your heart. What we sang about this morning, "Break my heart with what breaks yours. Help my eyes to see what you want me to see. Help me to hear what you want me to hear. Help me to cry over what you want me to cry over. Help me to laugh about what you laugh about. Help my mind to be filled with your mind. Help my will to be filled with your will. Help my spirit to be baptized with your spirit. Help my heart to be immersed in what really is in the heart of God." A wonderful prayer for Passion Week. The greatest commandment Jesus addresses on Tuesday: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. He's being asked that by a teacher. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. He picks out 600 out of the 613 laws. These are the top two, he says. So the person asking the question, it's fascinating because, "Well said, teacher," the man replies, "you're right." And when Jesus sees that he's answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God. And so our prayer as preparing for Passion Week, Jesus on Tuesday, just like the teacher who answered wisely, this week, help my mind to be filled with kingdom thinking. Tuesday afternoon, Jesus foretells the destruction of Jerusalem. He announces that the kingdom is going to be taken away from the Jewish people and the Jews will be scattered throughout the earth. Whenever the disciples turned to him and said, oh, look at what Herod has built. Isn't this impressive? See these buildings. What massive, incredible buildings we have here, Jesus. And Jesus turns to them and says, I tell you the truth. The day will soon come when not one stone will be left on another. It will all be taken down. In so doing, Jesus prophesies what will happen 40 years later whenever the Roman general Titus descends on Jerusalem. Anybody ever heard of Masada and the Jews escaping from Jerusalem and finally going to the mountain, and they finally all die there? The Jewish state as we know it is wiped out because of the rebellion of the Jews against the Romans. Jesus predicts all of that. And so as he's going down on the triumphal entry, he actually pauses. If you go to Jerusalem today, you can see the church where it's built, the place where Jesus pauses to weep over Jerusalem. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, have you only known what you had? How often I desired to, like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, how often I wanted to gather you, but you were not willing. The time will come when you will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But it will be in a later generation. So in this Olivet Discourse, Jesus talks about the end of the world. He talks about the fact there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and nation will rise against nation, and kingdom will rise against kingdom, and people will not be stable, and it'll be difficult to be a follower, but those who endure to the end will be saved. And then Jesus goes on and he talks about, in this process, he says that the gospel will be preached in the whole world and there will be a loud trumpet call. And in the process of that, with his return, he will gather his people from the ends of the earth. And then he closes the discourse with these words in Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth may pass away. My words will never ever pass away. So, after two exhausting days of controversy and the teaching in the temple, Jesus spends Wednesday resting and visiting with his friends. At the end of the Jewish feast, it's now Thursday, and Jesus takes a towel and he changes the world's idea of leadership. And he says, as the world, the Gentiles are always jockeying for position, but it won't be so among you. The greatest among you will be those who serve. And he takes the towel because he had noticed that nobody was willing to be the servant at the door because it was the servant's job. So the room was filled with proud hearts and dirty feet. And Jesus said, as I have done to you, you're to do to each other. And he institutes the Last Supper.
Take it. Eat. This is my body. This This is my blood. Remember me by doing this. I'm going to the Father, but I will always be with you.
The Last Supper, Jesus follows by giving a new command to love one another. He said that all people will know that you are my followers if you love one another. And then Jesus closes that night by talking about the Holy Spirit. He begins his discourse by saying, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't ever be afraid. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to be with me where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going." Thomas said, No. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says, "The works that I do, you'll do greater once I go to the Father. It's actually for your good that I'm going away, because if I go away, I will send another comforter, another helper who will be with you forever," he said. He said, "I and the Father will love you. If you obey my commands, I and the Father will love you, and we will come to you, and we will make our home with you. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. He'll never speak on his own. He will show you what he'll remind you of everything that I've said. I'm the vine. You're the branches. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you'll bear much fruit if you stay connected. If you don't stay connected, you're like a branch that's withered and it's cut off and it's cast into the fire and burned. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you and I ordained you that you should go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. When the Spirit comes, he's going to convict us all of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. There's many things Jesus said that I'd like to say to you, but I can't. But when the Spirit has come, he will not just speak on his own. He will speak what he hears, and then he will show you what's yet to come." And then Jesus prays. He prays for himself. He says, "Father, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you've given me to do." And then he prayed for his disciples. And he said, "Thank you for these that have been taken out of the world. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. For them I sanctify myself." And then Jesus prays for each of you. And his prayer, he says, "I pray not only for those who are here, but for those who will believe on me through their message. I pray, Father, that they will be one in the local churches that they form, that they will be one, just as I am in you and you are in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know." And then Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and he struggles three times. He prays, "Not my will, thine be done." Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Father, this is Passion Week. It's Holy Week. It's a week that we have to walk with you. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for each believer that's here today. Thank you for their desire to walk with you. We really do believe, Father, that as much as we appreciate the pastor and as much as we appreciate his wonderful wife and all of the leaders, the clergy leaders that are being raised up in this church, the people that are licensed ministers and people that are ordained ministers like Katie and the people that are on the board that serve so faithfully, Lord, we actually believe that not only are these leaders able to listen to you, we believe it is possible that the Holy Spirit can speak to every person in this room individually. We actually believe that the Holy Spirit can come to the human spirit and you can show us what you want us to do. So speak today to every person here. May each person this week take their next step spiritually. Whatever it is, may they not shrink back like Peter and deny you in the marketplace, but may they lean in heavy and may they say, not only with their lips, but with their life, I will follow you. May they hear you say, the red letter words of Jesus. Help us to hear you say, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Help us to forgive as you would forgive. Help us to love as you would love. Help us to give as you would give. Help us to serve as you would serve. Help us to go as you would have us go. So that as we go through this Holy Week, we will be changed people, not because we are special, but because of the fact that resident within us is the Spirit of Jesus. Thank you for guiding us this Holy Week. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we offer all of these things. And all of God's people said, Amen.